Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Neek and Rudy Pro Football Talk Show. I am your host, Neek, better known as the favorite fan of the New York Giants and Oakland Raiders. Both teams probably going to get beat down this week, but we'll talk about that later in the show. That's what we do. And in the studio with me every Friday night is Rudy Rude. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm just ready to talk this football as every week. I'm excited to go over with you what's went on in the NFL. We're talking about the week that just went past. Talk about Thursday night football since it's a Friday night here. Neat. Man, we're getting into October. It's fall. It's just cooling off where we're at. Man, I'm ready to talk about the NFL as every week. But I'm looking forward to some matchups this week, too, man. I mean, for me, you know, obviously it goes to Monday. You know, I'll rock some of my Browns. I'm glad that, Freddie Kitchens and, some of the other coaches are listening to the show. I saw that y'all ran a lot of that 12 personnel I mentioned in the show, putting Baker Mayfield under center. I loved it, man. You know, Nick Chubb, we'll get into that, though, man. First, let's get into some of this news that's going on in the NFL. When we talk about news, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, it's player injury. So we're going to start off with actually on a bright note. We're talking about guys that are coming back, not from injury, but from doing the drugs. Now, I know they say, you know, don't do drugs. Drugs are bad. But in some cases, you know, guys probably taking PEDs and stuff like that or steroids to come back from injuries. I'm not saying that that's always what happens. Nobody ever says they actually took the stuff knowingly. But, I mean, for these guys, I think Antonio Callaway come back from suspension. I think he was smoking weed. Golden Tate, I think him coming back from a four-game suspension.
You know how it goes. But anyway, all these guys are coming back for the fifth week. Be interesting to see how they help their team. Actually, Tennessee has an interesting matchup. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well with the Bills. Vontaze Perfect, man. Your boy for the Raiders. Man, he's a headhunter, man. And that shit's starting to catch up to him for real, man. He got suspended for 12 games for a hit on Jack Doyle, tight end for the Colts. You know, and he's trying to just, you know, make somebody brain rattle in the helmet, man. I mean, be honest with you. I mean, you know, he's known for putting brothers in protocol, man. Look, AB still ain't right from the hit that Vontaze put on. We're going to move on. Vontaze appealing that stuff next Tuesday, I think. But for right now, man, it looks like he's in danger of missing the rest of the season. But it was cute, man, that the rest of your Raiders, man, you know, Raider Nation had love for him, like John Gruden and Carr at his back. That's cool, man. You got to support your teammates, man, your squad, fam. But moving on, man, the Patriots, they cut Cam Meredith, the wide receiver, old Saint, man. But, I mean, I don't think that's a major. He wasn't getting a lot of burn anyway. A couple guys had to do a concussion protocol earlier this week. Jarvis Landry practiced for Browns today. He's cleared to play. Josh Allen, me and Neek had a discussion before the show. I'm not sure that he's completely cleared protocol right now, but he practiced today. League might need to look into that. Got Roger Goodell online, too, for McDermott. I'm not sure. Not official that cleared protocol, but I thought Gnarls Barkley, Matt Barkley, was going to be starting. Not so. But it looks like, after throwing that late interception, Matt Barkley, nobody wants him to start for Bills. They want to keep winning games. Steven Guskowski for the Pats, man. That's crucial. Their kicker, man. That's the Pats way. See what AB talking about, the Pat way. That's the Pat way right there. Making kicks in crucial situations. What they're going to do it with, I think Mike Nugent is the kicker I heard they're signing. Not going to focus a lot on the kick game from New England. That's crucial, man. They dominate special teams. Look at Slater. Dominant special team player on there. John Ross, he's on IR for Bengals, wide receiver. Dealing with shoulder injury. Chris Hogan, I think Nicky said he was done for the year. He's on IR. I wanted to mention the Brown, too. Christian Kirksey, he had, chest surgery. And it was believed when he was put on IR that he would be back after, 8 weeks. which IR requires, but it looks like he's likely going to be out of the year with the surgery he just had. And again, that was go for the Browns. Just a little side note there. Another injury, unfortunately, Clay Matthews got a broken jaw. Somebody probably kind of deboed him out there, knocked him out last night's game, the Rams and Seahawks. I don't know if you want to start off there in the recap, Neek. We can do however you want. You just let me know in a second. But Davante Adams, he's going to be out for the Packers this weekend against Dallas. Big game, man. But Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be that old A-Rod, man. He's going to have to be that Aaron Rodgers in baseball and football. I always think of, you know, Aaron Rodgers in baseball, too, because he's a dominant player. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, we got Davante Adams doing with turf toe. Kwon Short, Neek, I know you wanted to mention that as well. Kwon Short's going to be out for 6 weeks in the interior line for the Carolina Panthers. You know that defense really good, and they're going to miss him. You want to talk about last night's game, Neek?
Yeah. Last night's game was a Thursday night classic, one of the best Thursday night games we've watched in a long time. There's been a lot of duds, Thursday night football duds over the past couple years, but last night's game was excellent. Back and forth game. Both teams were battling for actually second place in the division because the 49ers right now were off last week. They are 3-0. But you got to give it up to Russell Wilson. He's one of the most underrated, underappreciated quarterbacks in the game. You know, the knock on him coming into the league was size. I mean, he's overcome that barrier. You know, everybody was just dogging him like, he's a baseball guy. He's got a good arm, but he's too short, this and that. But his scrambling ability to extend the play is some of the best I've seen and watched in a while. His ball placement, some of the best, especially that touchdown he threw to Tyler Lockett last night. And it was crazy because when I saw that play, I thought he was trying to throw it away. And he put the ball right in there. And Lockett, you got to give props to Lockett. I mean, you know, for dragging both of us, having both of the feet down. You know, so good play right there. And he was 17-23 last night. And fans, you have to keep in mind, Russell Wilson, he doesn't have a true number one wide receiver. When Doug Baldwin announced that he was going to retire this offseason, I mean, we was all looking like, well, who's he going to throw to? And DK Metcalf, you know, he was actually, you know, he plays and highlights, you know, big pass plays and all that stuff. He has the size, but he's not a traditional good route runner. We ain't know he can run NFL routes. Last night, he had a big touchdown catch. He has the speed. He burned his eye. And then they found the tight end in Disley. I mean, I didn't know nothing about this Disley kid. He had 4 catches, 81 yards. The kid has been balling every week. And then Chris Carson been running the ball. That Seahawks offense line has actually been a strength last couple of years. So I'm telling you right now, the Seahawks is a dangerous team. They're going to be around the rest of the season. They're going to be competing for a playoff spot. And this is a team that not any other NFC teams want to face. And for the Rams, I don't know what's going on with Todd Gurley. I mean, in the first half, Gurley looked like the old Gurley we're used to seeing. He had 15 carries, 51 yards, 2 touchdowns. I feel like they should have gave 30 carries, but I know they're kind of concerned about his knee. But if that's the case, I mean, start giving some carries to Mac Brown. I mean, you know, Malcolm Brown. What was his name? Malcolm Brown, Mac Brown, backup running back. Give some carries to him. But Everett, he came out of nowhere last night. 7 catches, 136 yards. Cubs does this thing every week. Woods, 5 catches. Cooks went out in the fourth quarter with concussion. But the Rams team, they're loaded offensively. But defensively, they got a lot of problems in that secondary. A lot of communication issues in that secondary. Peters hasn't been on this game this year. Same thing with Tlaib. Tlaib's getting up there in age. But I don't know. They're not getting pressure up front. I mean, you know, they signed Dante Fowler. Thought he was going to do his thing. He's been struggling to get to quarterback this year. Dobbs been getting double teamed. So this defense line needs to step up for this team to actually get back to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to say they have a Super Bowl hangover because it is just the 5th week and they are 3-2. So it's still a long season to be played. But great game last night. Seahawks, right now, I think right now, I can see what the 49ers do the rest of the year for the next couple of weeks. But right now, this Seahawks team is a team nobody wants to face in that division. But with that being said, ready to move to week 5?
Actually, I'm going to rewind. You know how I do, man. I got to go real quick back to the future, man. So we got to go in the time machine. I know it might be a little confusing. Neek just went over the Thursday night game that just happened last night, 30-29. The Seahawks defeated the Rams. As he just mentioned, Greg Zuerlein missed a 44-yard field goal late. You know, in that game, it was seconds left. Russell Wilson threw 4 touchdowns. He mentioned he threw that. It was a beaut to Lock, man. Really, I thought he was throwing that away too. That was quarterback excellent. And if you guys haven't seen Neek, actually, Neek and Russell Wilson look like, man. I think y'all are cousins. Neek, when your hair's grown out, man, y'all are definitely cousins, man. They play cousins. for real, man, on his mother's side, man. But anyway, man, we're going to move right along, man. Look, we talked about Thursday Night Football for week four already. Philadelphia, Green Bay, we already been through that. Last Sunday, though, we hadn't touched on those games. Tennessee beat Atlanta. They made them 2-2 at the time, which actually they still are. Tennessee beat Atlanta 24-10. And like I said, Tennessee has a tough matchup with Buffalo this upcoming week. I'm really interested in that because it's a real defensive game, in my opinion. New England, talk about defensive game, beat Buffalo. Both teams were undefeated 3-0 going into this one. I mean, a lot of people probably didn't give Buffalo much of a chance. But, man, I mean, hey, the Bills beat some good defense, man. I mean, crucial interceptions. Big play, I think, in this game was when Josh Allen went out with his concussion. A big hit that put him out the game, and Barkley threw that late interception we mentioned. England wins that one 16-10. But Buffalo is a contender in this division. Now, obviously, you know, don't for them to beat New England in that division, but they do have a chance to make it to the playoffs. So, you know, I'll be watching them stretch. They got to beat Tennessee, though, this upcoming week, and we'll go over it again here in a second. KC beat Detroit. But you know what? Again, another game where a lot of people probably thought KC would handle Detroit, you know, pretty easily, but I don't look at football like, oh, Detroit's been every day, always like, nah, man, I really looks at the game, man. Matthew Stafford is a baller, man. I've always loved Stafford. I mean, Matthew Stafford, man, that's my guy. Like, you know, the Lions came into this game on feet, they're 2-1. I see they had that tie with the Cardinals in the first game, but they lost this one in a close game, but it was like some tomfoolery happened in the end. Kansas City, 34 beat Detroit 34-30. A big surprise here, actually a shocker. It would have been a shocker if Detroit had beat KC. KC remains defeated at 4-0, but Oakland defeated Indianapolis after people thought Indianapolis was prime position to take over the AFC South. The success they've had with Jacoby Brissett, Marlon Mack running so well, but Oakland won this one 31-24. Both teams went to even 2-2 on the season. And, you know, both teams, I think, have big matchups this weekend as well coming up. We'll go over that in a second. We're going to let you run off through that. Chargers whooped up on the Dolphins. Take the Dolphins to 0-4, take it for Tua. Not too much more to say about that. Washington lost to the Giants. Danny Dimes, you know, victory tour continues. He's 2-0. Haskins had more interceptions in a half than Daniel Jones has victories. But again, Daniel Jones goes to 2-0 in this one as the Giants beat Washington 24-3. And Haskins throw three INTs. And, man, I'm going to mention this again later in the show. How is Jay Gruden not fired at this point? He was ill-prepared. He ill-prepared Haskins to have success in that game. Cleveland, a big victory over the Baltimore Ravens, 40-25, partially behind three touchdowns from Nick Chubb. Some great defense and some 12 personnel. I told you about it earlier in the show. Ricky Seals-Jones had a little coming-out party. Let's see, Marlon Humphrey, Punk, OBJ, but we ain't gonna worry about that. OBJ held the two catches, but Jarvis Landry had damn near 200 yards, including beautiful option on the left side of the field that they set up where he was running option, could have pitched it to Odell, and there's a lot of good plays in that game, like Odell throw. I need more of that, Fred Kitchens, man. That's why you're my guy. Keep it coming. Carolina over Houston. So, you know, Kyle Allen continues his success as he's lifted the Panthers up, and I don't know if he's maybe the guy of the future there. Both Carolina and Houston, after Houston's loss in the game, are 2-2. Carolina won this one 16-10. 55-40. You might think I'm talking about a WNBA score or a college football score from the Big 12, but that's Tampa Bay beating the Rams. And the Rams now dropped 2 in a row. At that time, they were 3-1. We just went over the Thursday night action. Tampa Bay and Jets came out and balled again, beat the Rams 55-40. And Shaq Barrett had a strip sack in this one, and he still leads the league in sacks. I want to say at 8, but I can't remember at this time. Might be a little bit more than that. I'm going to wrap up these scores real quick. Seattle over Arizona, 27-10, and we already covered what they did, taking them to 4-1 on Thursday night. And then Chicago's defense, you talk about your boy Khalil Mack and crew beating up on, man, your guy, man. You know what I'm talking about, Kirk Cousins. That's your cousins. Your cousins and them. He's not completing passes to receivers like Adam Thielen. Let him issue an apology. Stephon Diggs wants to be treated, yada, yada. 16-6, Bears beat the Vikings, Bears have the best defense in the league, in my opinion. 26-24, speaking of great defenses, Jacksonville beats Denver. Denver falls to 0-4. Jacksonville, Minshew Mania, 2-2. Two more scores to get to, Nick. I am very sorry. 12-10, New Orleans goes to 3-1 behind Teddy Bridgewater and that great defense. Again, New Orleans 12-10 over Dallas. And then the last score was Cincinnati absolutely stinking it up, still winless. Only one team in the AFC North lost 27-3 to Mason Rudolph and the Steelers on Monday Night Football. Nick, can we get into Week 5?
Yeah, we're going to get into Week 5. Sorry about that. Because every week, Rudy likes to give a recap of last week's games. There's nothing wrong with that because he just got to keep everybody updated. Anyway, before we get into the Week 5, the rest Week 5, I just went over to last night's game. But you know, fans, the new fans that tune in this show every week, Meek has to do his W Gotta Award. And that is who gave up that ass. No Vaseline, give it to me. No Vaseline, give it to me now. So that's basically the award. So this week, I'm going to do something a little different. Actually, this award for this week, you the one I give out my who gave up that ass, the use goes to the cornerbacks, the safeties, linebackers, anybody defense who just can't cover. But I'm going to switch it up this week, and I actually give this award to the Bengals offensive line. And now let's start out with the Bengals offensive line. Let me go ahead and name that line for everybody. Bengals offensive line, get ready for Bouquet. Who gave up your ass? Bouquet will be coming to you guys this week. So let's start with the left tackle. I understand I got to keep in mind Bengals do have a couple of injuries. I mean, every team has injuries on the offensive line. But when teams have injuries on the offensive line, they have depth. But the Bengals don't have quality depth. They have horrible depth. They have guys that should not even be on the roster. I mean, seriously, like Andre Smith. You know how old Andre Smith is? I mean, he doesn't handle a speed rusher. He doesn't handle anybody on the Steelers' defensive line. Michael Jordan. Whew! I ain't talking about the NBA Michael Jordan. Ain't no relation whatsoever. I mean, he was just getting bullied right back. I mean, one play I saw, that Steeler, I think it was Hayward or whatever. I mean, he just bull rushed him, threw him back into Dalton. I mean, that was just terrible and that was ugly. But the only player that actually is decent, Trey Hopkins, I mean, okay, here's the thing with Trey. Don't get mad at me. When the war comes to your whole offensive line, you know, going to pass it around, actually, you ain't got to touch it, man. You can just keep moving to the right side. You were kind of decent. But the right guard, man, John Miller, another one was getting beasted. And then Bobby Hart. I know all about Hart. I know Bengals fans like, Nick, man, tell me about Hart. He used to play for your Giants. I'm going to tell you like this. Bobby Hart is known for false starts. He likes to get a quick jump because he's about to get beat. Hold on, get a quick start. Come on, hold on, ref. You know, I suck. Let me get a quick start. So that's what Bobby Hart's known for. Bobby false start Hart. Yes, terrible Hart. But anyway, Bengals offensive line, once again, Bobby Hart, Andre Smith, Michael Jordan, Trey Hopkins, I'll skip over you, and Don Miller. Who gave up that ass? Award goes to you guys. All right, hope you enjoy the award. Until you it should be there tomorrow. But anyway, go ahead and enjoy that little gift I sent you guys. But anyway, let's get into this week's game, rest of this week's games. Let's start these cards at the Bengals. And I just got done talking about the Bengals offensive line. So the keys for the cards in the game, you got to get David Johnson going, the running back. I mean, you've been paying this guy all this money. You got to get him going. You also got to get pressure on Andy Dalton, which should be pretty easy with Terrell Suggs and Chandler Jones. They should have a field day. They should have a field day against Bobby Hart and Andre Smith. Because I already know Bobby Hart, false star Hart, is going to be jumping outside many times in this game. Get a quick start. And then for the Bengals, you got to protect Dalton. I mean, come on, protect Dalton. Let this guy be able to get the ball out. I know he's going to be without John Ross for a while. So that means Tate going to step up. They're going to need him to step up. And got to get Mixon going. Get him the ball. Mixon should have about 2+ carries this game. And the mismatch this game, like I said, Bengals tackles versus Terrell Suggs, Chandler Jones, they have a field day against them two guys. And I don't really have a matchup I'm looking for in this game. Both teams are terrible. I mean, both offensive lines are two of the worst in the league. For the Cardinals, they're going to be without Christian Kirk this week. He's not playing in the game, so that's going to hurt a weapon for Kyler Murray. But with that being said, I guess I'm going to take Bengals at home in this game because I talked about, you know, who gave up the best awards going to them. The whole media was talking about how bad they are. They was talking about, man, maybe they're trying to battle with the Dolphins for a Tua for that number one spot. That remains to be seen. But with that being said, I'm going to take the Bengals in this game. Not confident about that. Cardinals probably will win, but I'm just going to take the Bengals in this game 31-28.
Nah, man. Nah. You know, I was about to cuss. I'm done with the Bengals for the year, bro. I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt no more. For those of y'all that don't know out in the viewing audience, me and Neek, we live in Dayton, Ohio. It's not too far from Cincinnati. So, you know, there's a lot of Bengals fans around here. I've been a lifelong Browns fan, a lot of Browns fans. Not too many Raiders or Giants fans, Neek. You're weird. But in this one, man, you know, like I watch the Bengals like every week. Like literally, I watch every play, of course. But the Bengals are not a good team this year. And when they got whooped by the Steelers on that Monday night game, I just kind of gave up on them for a year. I will still be watching them. I still think when A.J. Green gets there, they're going to improve, but they need to blow it up. Arizona, I mean, they probably, you know, going in the right direction. At least they got QB position figured out. I don't think Dalton is the Bengals QB. Now, people could say he was pressured too much in the last game to really be able to make a determination against Pittsburgh, really. I mean, Pittsburgh's not all that great this year either. I don't care what you say. Their defense is not bad. I know they got Devin Bush. I like Watt, too. I mean, their secondary is not very good. But anyway, they held the Bengals to 3 points. The Cardinals they've tied. They tied the Lions, which is actually a credible football team. Neither of these teams are. Neither of them has won a game. I got the Cards winning this from 20-17.
So you're trying to say that you don't think Dalton's the guy. I mean, I don't think so either. We already talked about the offensive line. But you got to remember, when they played the Seahawks, he threw for over 400 yards. So he has an arm.
Week one, it's not like Dalton can't look good first. Bro, he's a quarterback that'll look good. He can play good. But how many playoff games has he won with this opportunity been given?
Yeah, I hear you on that, man. I hear you on that. All right, we'll move on to the next game. We'll save it for another show. All right. Falcons at the Texans. You want to talk about another team that has underachieved so bad so far this year and just so bad. I mean, I just don't get it because you look at the Falcons' skill position. You got Hooper, Ridley, Sanu, and Julio, and Freeman, but they're carrying the ball. But, I mean, you still can't put up points. I mean, last week at home against the Titans, only 10 points. Come on, man. Julio Jones, you know, he put up his stats as always. But, I mean, Ridley's not getting involved. I talked about, was it 2 weeks ago against the Colts? He only had one catch going in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just, I don't know what's going on. Dan Quinn, let's just keep it real. They lose this game. They start losing a couple more games. The seat's going to get real hot. He might be with John Gruden. Jay Gruden on that get dropped off bench over there. So, yeah, but the keys for the Falcons in this game. Offensive line has to protect Ryan. We already know that Texans front seven is nasty. Merciless and Watt, man, don't be coming after Matt Ryan. And you already know how Ryan is. When he feels pressure, he will throw some picks. That's what he's known to do. Turnover machine this year. Also for the Falcons. Serious, the offensive coordinator attacked the Texans secondary. It's very weak. Jonathan Joseph's 35 years old. I mean, he can handle one of these Falcons receivers. I'm serious. Like, the Falcons need to attack. And for the Texans, pound Carl Tide, get high, give him about 20-plus carries, get the ball to Hopkins. And it's crazy because for a lot of fantasy owners that play DeAndre Hopkins heading into the season, he was like the number one option, the number one choice. But Hopkins has been on shut the last few weeks. I don't know what's going on there, but he has been going up against some good competition there, cornerbacks he's been facing. And then also for Houston, you got to protect Watson. I mean, Falcons, they don't really have hope on their defense like Grady Garrett. Big Easley and the Magician, always disappearing every week, show up every now and then. But the key matchup I do want to see in this game, DeAndre Hopkins, Verkins, Marcus Trufant. That's going to be – not Marcus Trufant. What's his name? Desmond Trufant. And then the mismatch in this game, like I said, Falcons wide receiver versus the Texans secondary. With that being said, I'm going to go Texans in this game, high-scoring game. I think it's going to be 34-24.
Neek, now, this is the thing about these two teams. They have to make a liar out of them, both of us, okay? Because Atlanta and Houston, you mentioned it. Who was you talking about? You said, who's the player that you said does disappearing act for
Vic Beasley.
Yep, you know what? That's very indicative of these teams. That was foreshadowing, Neek. Because these teams, it's like Forrest Gump, man. You never know what the hell you going to get each week, man. It's like a box of chocolate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these two teams have all the talent. You talked about it. Julio Jones, man. I mean, Julio Jones is one of the best receivers I've ever seen coming out of college. They got a dominant offense with Matt Ryan, Matty Ice. You get a nickname, you should be able to play. And sometimes he just plain can't play. He can't play dance sometimes. And you got Deshaun Watson. I love Deshaun Watson now. He's my man. But, I mean, man, I don't know if he's got some special insurance behind that offensive line. Now, don't get me wrong. They played better. They went out and traded for, you know, the offensive tackle, Tunzel. I don't know if that's paying dividends yet. Now, I got Houston winning this game 28-20. But all I'm saying is don't be surprised by whatever the hell happens in the game because both of these teams are damn unpredictable. Neek says he wants to move on to Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Book us both for Houston in a game that you can't predict with any level of certainty because you don't know who the hell you are going to see coming playing each week. And when you said 20 carries for Carlos Hyde, man, shoot. He ain't getting no 20 carries, man. He's lucky if he gets 13 carries, but they do need to get Duke involved in the pass game. I think that will help. He works as kind of a slot receiver as well as Keith Steele as well. You know, try to slot receivers, especially when tight end's not necessarily a strength. Tampa Bay and New Orleans, man. Hey, I don't know. You know, if Drew Brees was playing in this game, this would be no-brainer, right? Let's not forget, Jameis put up 38 points by his goddamn self last week, man. Got a, you know, a little help from his defense. But, you know, I think Jameis and Bruce Arians, man, I think they cool, man. I think you know how Cam be wearing the crazy clothes, man, the scarves, the hats. Don't be surprised to see Jameis wearing like a Kango, man. You know what I'm saying? You know how you ever see Arians wearing them Kangos all the time? Yeah, you know, he might get rubbed off on it in a good way, man. Jameis just needs a little direction in his life, man. You know, he ain't running out the supermarket with no crab legs no more. Jameis is growing up. And I don't know if that means that he can limit the interceptions, but I think he found a mentor, father figure in the coach Arians, man, who I've always thought was like an offensive genius. You know, this one, Neek, I know you're going to break down some of the particulars, but Teddy Bridgewater limits this New Orleans offense. Now, don't get me wrong. You still got some heat on that offense. I said Kamara's the man, Thomas is the man. That defense is legit in the Saints. You know, they held Cowboys last week on only 12 after they've been having offensive explosion. Neek, I don't know if I should give you a pick right now or let you preview it. I can't hold on to my upset alert, upset special. This is my upset alert. Tampa Bay winning this one 27-24. Mike Evans has a big-ass game.
Yeah, I might have to agree with you on that, but we'll see in a second. For the Bucs, the keys for them to win this game, don't turn the ball over, Jameis Winston. Because last week, they were blowing out the Rams. But, you know, Jameis Winston, he's just prone to those turnovers. He's prone to those pick sixes. And he couldn't help himself last week. So hopefully this week, that New Orleans secondary, they put the clamps down on that Cowboys receiver corps last week. So it's going to be a good game this week. I can't wait to see Mike Evans versus Lattimore. I don't know if it's going to be Godwin versus Lattimore. That's going to be a good matchup right there. Also, for the Bucs, try to get a little bit of that running game on. Just be a little balanced. I know Barber had a couple touchdowns early in the season. You got to get him the ball a little bit as well. For the Saints, D. Kamara, this offense is all about Kamara, get him going. And Jared Cook, man, what has happened to Cook? I mean, I was thinking about too because he balled out for my Raiders last year, and I was like, damn, lost Cook. Cook will go to New Orleans and tear it up. Nope. He's had a lot of dropsies. They're not really getting him involved. I don't know what's going on with that. But we'll see if Cook is going to actually be a fantasy breakout this week. We'll see. But the offensive line, Saints offensive line, needs to watch out for Baird. I mean, Shaquille Baird, man, where did this guy come from? Already has, what, 8-9 sacks already on the season? He's doing this thing. And I know people are like, who is this Baird guy? I mean, he played for Broncos and came out Broncos, but he was riding that line when you have Chubb and Von Miller back there. But like I said, the key matchup I want to watch, Evans versus Lattimore or Godwin versus Lattimore. But this match is Michael Thomas versus Hargraves. I'm telling you right now, Thomas is a beast. This is a wide receiver that's hard cover. I think he's going to have a field day against Groves, man. So it's going to be a nice little matchup right there. But I think he's, it's a nice little matchup. That's going to be the mismatch if the Saints. I know Peyton is good at attacking mismatches. So I think Teddy Bridgewater should be able to get a couple touchdown passes to Thomas in this game. That being said, I kind of want to roll with Rude on this one. I know the Saints coming off the big Sunday night win against them Cowboys, but I want to go today. Nah, I can't do it. I got to go with the Saints in this game, 28-24. All right, Vikings at the G-Men. My Giants there, 2-0 with Danny Dimes. But I hate to say it, man. I think Danny Dimes, he's going to be in for a rough game this game because this Vikings defense is going to be pissed off. They're already pissed off because they pissed at the offense because the offense can't move the ball, and they pissed off because they actually put the clamps down on the Bears. But, I mean, come on, the Bears' offense is explosive. But they did their job, I mean, except that one drive where Bears did score a touchdown. But the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, you got to get the ball to AT and SD. We're talking about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Diggs are coming out. He's unhappy. Thielen pissed off because he didn't get the ball much last week. I mean, Kirk Cousins, when he plays good teams, he struggles. When he plays bad teams, he actually does very well. He actually looks like an NFL quarterback. But also the defense line for Vikings, they should feast on Daniel Jones in this game. I know I'm a hard Giant fan, but Soder, he struggles with pass rushers. I think Hunter and Griffin, they're going to at least get to Daniel Jones probably about 3 or 4 times in this game. Giants keys, offense needs to be balanced. Get the ball out, get about 15, 20 carries for Gallman. Daniel Jones, try not to put the game all on your shoulders. Try not to force some throws because that Vikings defense, they can cover. But for the Giants defense, they need to get pressure on Cousins. I think they can do it because the weakness on this Viking team is that offensive line matchup. I do look forward to watching this game. Thielen versus Jenkins, Norris Jenkins, that should be solid. And the mismatch, the veteran Diggs versus DeAndre Baker. Baker, are you ready? I know last 2 weeks you've been looking solid, but are you ready for this game? With that being said, I'm going to take the Vikings 27-20.
All right, Nick, we got quite a few games left to go through. I think you broke down this Giants-Viking game real well, man. I think, you know, we already touched on some of the big things going into this game. I don't know to what extent you mentioned that Saquon Barkley was out, ruled out. But, you know, he's an athletic freak, man. So, I mean, coming off a high ankle sprain, he's coming back in like a week or two. He could have came back. I saw the way he was cutting and running in practice, but being, you know, careful with your franchise, you know, number one commodity, I mean, that's smart to me. You don't need to rush it back. With all that being said, Minnesota's got a nasty defense, man. I know Danny Dimes is in the man, and I like Daniel Jones because of his mobility. And, you know, I think some of the pops that he's got, you know, I've really been impressed. But I think, you know, in this game, you know, for Minnesota coming in, like you mentioned, they feast on the teams that are weak. And, you know, as good as Giants look these last 2 weeks behind Daniel Jones, y'all defense is still weak. Like Daniel Jones, DeAndre Baker, you know, that whole secondary. I mean, I'm basically calling you guys out. I think that Minnesota kind of gets his stride back because Cousins has, you know, really been struggling. He's had some bad games, man. I mean, one where he had 10 attempts, one where he just could not complete open passes or make, you know, right reads. And last week in the loss to Chicago, I got Minnesota winning this one because I think that, you know, he'll do everything he can to satisfy and pacify, you know, his receivers. Minnesota 27-21 over the Giants. So moving right along, Nick, I know you wanted to go to the Jags and the Panthers. I really don't have a lot for this one other than to say that Jalen Ramsey will be out. They're calling it back. But if anything, his ailment is being sick of playing for the Jaguars. Now, Shad Khan said that he's going to keep Jalen Ramsey, you know, in Jacksonville. But I'm still not convinced. Maybe Jalen Ramsey comes back in a couple more weeks when he realizes he's not being traded. And don't forget about Minshew Mania that's going in Jacksonville that's actually got them winning their last two games in dramatic fashion. I actually love Gardner Minshew, the way he plays, the way – you know, it's something about him, man. It's swag. I don't know. You know, he's got a swag kind of like mine. You know, I don't mind. I'm not walking in the locker room in draws, but I'll walk around anywhere in my draws just comfortable like that, man. That's a lot. You know, I got a little. But anyway, Gardner Minshew, you forgot to me, though. But anyway, man, hey, this one, you know, two great defenses, actually. Don't forget about the way Kyle Allen's playing. Call this the unexpected bowl because who before the season, except for a brilliant mind like Rudy Rude, would have told you that these guys probably would have been facing off, except for, if I'm being honest, it would have been Gardner Minshew
against the quarterback that they drafted from West Virginia, whose name escapes me right now. You see how quick even us is. You can see the media and forget. Yes, Will Greer. I've already forgotten about that. I was campaigning for as the Panthers got him to eventually replace Cam Newton. It didn't quite go down like that because they had a guy I really didn't know about, Kyle Allen. But now we have Kyle Allen versus Gardner Minshew. Which quarterback more polarizing? I don't know, but I know that Jacksonville's defense dominant, just like Carolina's. I think this will be somewhat of a defense game, but a few points scored. Don't forget about Jacksonville's run game with Fournette. It's a little better. 24-21, Jacksonville over Carolina in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, he's giving all love to Minshew, and, you know, I don't blame you on that. But Mr. Allen, I love what Mr. Allen is doing over there with these Carolina Panthers. They're also 2-0 since he's been a starter, since Cam is trying to getting healthy, recover from that injury. For the Jags, keys in this game, keep the Fournette running train rolling. Keep it going. And this offensive line needs to protect Minshew because that Panthers defensive line and front seven is pretty nasty, pretty physical for the Panthers. Since there's no Jalen Ramsey this week, you know what time it is. It is time to attack that secondary. Mr. Allen takes shots because DJ Moore has been looking solid. Same thing with Samuel's Mr. Olsen. Oh, man, Olsen still doing his thing. And the Panthers offensive line gets a lot of injuries. Darrell Williams a little banged up. Trey Turner's not for this game. So it's going to be – they're going to be shifting guys in and out. So this line needs to hold up. That being said, this game is going to be low scoring, I think. I think it's going to end up being 17-14. All right, let's move on over across the pond to London. The Bears against my Oakland Raiders. This is for, well, let's put it like this. Let me just jump right into it. For the Chicago Bears, it's all about the Khalil Mack show. This is his revenge show. This is his game. Khalil is going to be on a mission this week. He's probably having trouble sleeping all this week. He's just thinking about, damn, Trent Brown, that big ass, brought his ass in here, paid him all that damn money. And they talking about he's a beast. He brought for Brady. He ain't ready for this right here. He ain't ready for this Mack truck. I know Khalil can't wait to go against Trent Brown. Also, for the Bears, they got to be able to watch out for Mr. Waller. We talk about Darren Waller. I know somebody's like, who? Nah, this is the NFL leader in tight end and receptions. He's got 33 receptions on the season doing this thing. And the keys for the Raiders, Gruden, I know you know the X's and O's for football, but let me tell you something right now. Get the split back game going. I'm telling you right now, Bears have some speed, but if you can get Rashard and Washington in that backfield, get them on them linebackers, I'm telling you, the Bears, they go in trouble with that. Get Jacobs going this game. Jacobs should have about 25-plus carries this game. So with that being said, man, I just think the Bears, man, Khalil Mack's going to have this thing so fired up, but I'm going to go with them Bears 21-13.
Neek, there's no way you're going to like this. We got 8 games, 7 minutes. Time to put Rush on a few of these whack games. I tell you what, man, I do not think that – I know you were just touching on Chicago-Oakland. I got Chicago winning. Well, meet me at the London, you know, and I think it's in Wembley. Chicago winning that one 23-17, just based on the strength of their great defense. Probably the Oakland, John Gruden, man. Y'all been playing y'all ass off. They buying it, though, man. I'll tell you that. They believe it. Knock on wood, if you hear me. They believe in what John Gruden's selling in Oakland, man, or I guess in Oakland, Vegas. But moving right along, man, Buffalo, Tennessee. Well, I'm just saying, they believe in John. That's good, man. After that 8 incident, your team could tank right then, but they showed some damn heart, man. I respect that. Buffalo and Tennessee, Buffalo 16-13 for Tennessee. Josh Allen, like we said, he's probably a go. Nick, I'm going to let you come back, circle around, touch on two of these games real quick, if that's all right. Buffalo and Tennessee, I got 16-13. Josh Allen playing defensive game. I like both. Actually love defense, Buffalo and Tennessee. And then the next one I'm going to touch on, this isn't a great game by any means, Nick. We do have to touch on, like, New England, Washington, for example, which is not a great game. But it's another quick one, New York Jets, Eagles. Sam Darnold's ruled out. I got the Eagles winning this one 30-13. What do you think about Buffalo and Tennessee and then, Philadelphia and Jets?
To make it real fast, it's not much touch on in that Jets-Eagles. You're talking about Falk going against Wentz. Eagles defense line will be feeding this game. Jets offense line, one of the worst in the league. The only chance they have, Bell, he has 40-plus carries and have about, out of 40 of those carries, out of 40 of those carries, if he had about 6 or 7 of them, about 50-plus yard runs, that's the only shot they have in this game. So, with that being said, I'm going to take the Eagles in this game 27-7. Bills and Titans. Man, this is going to be a nice little defensive battle for the Titans. If Josh Allen plays. If Josh Allen's not playing, I'm not sold on Matt Barkley. I think Titans going to light his ass up. I think they're going to pound Derrick Henry a lot in the game, look for him about 20-plus carries. And I think Mariota's going to make plays with his legs. So, with that being said, I'm going to take the Titans in that game 20-17. All right, let's move on to the Ravens and the Steelers. This is actually a good game right here. I know Rudy's been – we kind of talked about this before the show. Rudy's rooting for those Ravens. I don't know, man. Those Steelers, like I said, you know, key to beating the Ravens, you saw what the Browns did last week. Yeah, they didn't control that running game, but they got a lot of pressure on Jackson, made a little comfort back there. Jackson with his accuracy, I still don't trust him from that ball. He's going to have to throw that ball because teams are just going to line up, keep him in the pocket, and they're just going to shut down Ingram, try to shut down Ingram. But Mason Rudolph, it was Monday night game. It's coming out party. Can't say it because he didn't really play a team. He played the Bengals. So, that being said, if the Steelers can get kind of going and their defense can play like they did on Monday night, I'm going to take the Steelers in this game. And the key matchup I'm going to watch is Juju versus Marlon Humphrey. She'll be a good one. But I'm going to with the Steelers. I'm going to say Steelers 24-21.
I'm going to transition right along with you already said I like Baltimore. I like Baltimore because they're more physical. Pittsburgh, you know, they got a component with Connor. I like what they do with Samuel as well, man, even when they're coming out of, like, the Wildcat, for example. But that's kind of gimmicky, man. Mason Rudolph, they got him playing basically, I don't know how you say it, like elementary college football, real simple game plan, like preseason game plan. And I don't think that's going to work against good teams. I think Baltimore is that. 27-17, Baltimore over Pittsburgh. We got a few more games to get to. England, Washington. I don't got much time or love for this game. Washington is a hot dumpster fire, man. Fire Jay Gruden, man. That's what's on my T-shirt right now. I'm selling the T-shirts. So buy them. Come get them. Colt McCoy named the starter. Third. Well, no, he's not the third starter. I guess they only had Keenan starting. You know, what's Haskins play last week? Looked bad. Through the pick, man. How is Gruden not fired? Point. That's my question, man. Now, New England's game, of course. 31-17 and mercy. They gave mercy.
Yeah, I think Patriots going to put these Redskins out. Colt McCoy starting this game. It's not going to matter. Pass defense, the best in the league right now. Patriots win this game in a blowout, 38-10. Broncos at Chargers. I think the Broncos can win this game because the Chargers, when you look at them offensively, it's just Eckler, Keenan Allen. And that's about it. That's about it on the offense side of the ball because I know Mike Williams was playing this week, but he hasn't really done anything. Travis Benjamin, they haven't gone deep with him. Broncos do have a shot. The only problem with the Broncos, that offensive line. So I think Ingram and Bosa are going to be in this game. I'm going to go with the Chargers game, 24-21.
Chargers, no shot. You say you're rolling with the Chargers, right? 27-10, I believe I got this one. Let's move on to the really game of the week, man. Green Bay at Dallas. Hey, Nick, this is an excellent game. This is why you watch football, man. 4 o'clock slot. Don't take a nap like I do. I'm going to try to stay awake this week. I got my DVR set, so I'm good. I got the Packers in this one. I mean, big advantage go to the Cowboys, like especially like Devontae Hunt being out. But don't forget about Aaron Rodgers. 30-24 Packers. I think the defense figures it out for the Packers.
I'm going to roll with the Cowboys. Devontae Adams being out is a big one in this game. Scantling and Allison, they're going to have to step up. And that means Jimmy Graham, he's going to have to step up as well. Key matchup, I am looking forward to Amari Cooper versus Jai Alexander. That's going to be a good one. But I'm going to take the Cowboys in the same 35-31. All right, Colts, Chiefs. Sunday night game, you know I got to roll with the Chiefs at home. Mahomes going to ball out this game. The only chance for the Colts, if they can get Mac. Mac had out 30-plus carries, control that clock. Kobe Brissett, no turnovers. He needs to be efficient and solid in this game. And that being said, I'm going to roll Chiefs 38-27.
It's French. It's Kobe Brissett. It's like Peter Gosson. Gosson Brissett. All right, anyway, in this one I got KC 35-21. I know we got a minute for me to talk about my Browns and Monday Night Football. Folks, the Cleveland Browns have got their stride. They're running the 12 personnel with Baker Mayfield in the single back behind center. Baker Mayfield is a shotgun quarterback. He's only running the spread. I'll tell you what, this defense has got some depth. The John Dorsey's put together a team. You got guys outside like Terrence Mitchell and T.J. Carey, and their safeties are coming back. You got a Morgan Burnett back there. You got a Demarius Randall. I love the way this team lines up. Myles Garrett bringing edge on the outside. Olivier Vernon got his first sack last week. Nick
Chubb running out of the backfield like a steam locomotive, like the Superman running at 20-plus miles per hour on an 88-yard touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens. That's what we need to see in Candlestick, folks, and that's what the Browns fans and the Browns backers love to see. Oh, yeah, I'm a Browns fan, and I love it. Down check!
All right, man, that's enough. All right, real quick, Browns win this game. They just got too much talent for the 49ers. Yes, 49ers look good. I look at that competition they played, who they played so far. But with that being said, I'm with the Browns 24-19.
Yeah, the Niners beat the Steelers and the Bengals. You know, 3-0 right now. I mean, I got the Niners on this one undefeated. I hope they didn't get recorded.
All right, fans, on that note, see you guys next week. Geek Root, see you next week.